cycle repeat itself. And it's a cycle, Lord, that you have introduced. You love us and guide us, and you put us together. You put man and woman together, and we become one, Father, way back in the garden, and that's just the way that you've organized it, Father, and relationships and love for each other and children and learning and growing, and it's an amazing cycle, God, and done your way, Father, it's just magnificent, and we pray, God, as we just go through your scriptures today. We're going to look at three moms today, actually four moms. But as we look at moms today, God, and how important they are in our lives, so Father, just move us and help us to appreciate it and help moms to feel special today, God, because it is their day. Father, you're an amazing and incredible God. Just fill our hearts with your word and your spirit and your insight and your wisdom, Lord, so we can go home just completely filled with you. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It was night when the sirens went off. The young mom woke up her two daughters, quickly got them dressed, rushed off across the street into the bunkers, where they joined the rest of the people. There they slept on camping cots as they heard the wailing of the sirens and they felt the shuddering of the bombs. But that was how life was. The year was 1944. The city was Berlin. And the young mom said to herself, I can't do it this way. Let me go to my mother, who stayed in Poland about 250 kilometers away. And so she managed to get onto a train and they went off to Poland. And when they got there, the regulations were that, you know what, if you were part of the town's register, you could stay there. But if you weren't, you could not stay there. And so she had to go home. Except she had to walk. So there was the young mom. 250 kilometers of road in front of her. Two young children, one 8, one a baby. Two prams. And a long journey. And off she went. How did they get food? Well, you begged from the farmers. Knock, knock, knock. Can I have a piece of bread? Do you have some vegetables? You begged from the soldiers because this was wartime. So whatever they didn't use, they gave you potato peelings so you could have a potato soup. In some towns, there were barriers in the streets. So this young mom with the two kids had to climb over the barriers with her prams and her meager possessions just to keep going on this road. The young girl remembers a soldier once gave her a crust of bread with some speck on it, some pork fat. And that was a highlight. So, Mom, what's for supper? Vegetable soup. Again? Yep. Bit of water, bit of salt, and whatever veggies we found on the day. Almost like the Old Testament times, they walked past the fields and went into them to find what was left behind, what hadn't been harvested. And so they reached Berlin. And what the mom had to do was, man, she had to do anything to feed her children. Dad was off at the war. And so she made socks. She peeled potatoes, morning till night. The young girl remembers once, it was her mom's birthday. And so she said, what can I give my mom for her birthday? And she got given a little packet of pudding powder. Happy birthday, Mom. That was her gift. At one stage, at one point on their journey, they were in a town and there was an explosion and a glass just from the windows above just fell on them. And they looked down into the pram. It was filled with glass splinters and blood. And so they said, oh my goodness. And so they carefully cleaned it away and the baby was unharmed. It was someone else's blood. And that was life for them. In 1944, in Berlin. So the little girl was hungry one day and she looked in the cupboard. She just found some flour. So she mixed it with water and made pancakes. No eggs, no cinnamon, no sugar, no milk. That was life. Little things. She remembers her mom staying up late just before her birthday to make her a cake. To make sure she could ice it, and so the little girl had something special for her birthday the next day. You know, sometimes I think what can happen is that we believe we need to do earth-shatteringly huge things in our lives. We need to go conquer the highest mountain, get the most important job in the world. We need to do big stuff. But actually, at the end of the day, you'll find it's the little things. The little things are actually the most important things. Special moments that make life special for us as children. So what I'm going to do is just take a journey past the lives of three more moms, just to show us the importance of the little things in life. Now, I'm not going to tell you who this mom is, but if you any of the teens here feel, oh, I know who it is, just shout it out. Let's see if you get it. There was a meeting one day called by the government. Special meeting, because only the midwives had to be there. Now, you know when you get that call, and someone very important calls you and says, hey, we got to chat. You know, when the boss says, you know, you're way down here, and the boss is way up there, and he says, oh, just come up to my office. We need to chat. What happens? Oh, man, heart starts pounding. Something big's going to happen. Usually not good news. Oh, that's how it was on this particular day. Midwives were called in, of all people. And so there they were in a hall probably like this, and they're chattering, you know, a lot of women together, a lot of midwives sharing all the birth stories. And this man walked on stage, and they recognized him. And they went, oh my gosh, look who it is. Look who it is. And the man stood there, and the hall went silent. And it was Pharaoh. Pharaoh coming to address the midwives. Ladies, he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The room was silent. And then the chattering started and the room emptied and everyone went outside and the little groups got together and discussed this thing and they cried and they wailed because this is terrible. How can you as a midwife make a decision like that? But that was the law at the time. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. See, this mom, in spite of the current law, defied Pharaoh and hid her son. And so you're starting to understand the rest of the story. She made a basket from papyrus, coated it with tar, sent Junior down the river. He was found by Pharaoh's daughter, who employed the mom to look after her own baby. What a turn of events. You see, moms make a plan. Moms continue to have their spiritual well-being of their children on the forefront of their thinking. And I uphold those moms among us who don't have a father in the house. And you're raising your children by yourself. Special honor to you today. See, God chose, what is her name? Jochebed, that's right. I heard it murmuring somewhere. Even the name Jochebed means glory of Jehovah. And history has it that she was actually one of the midwives in that meeting with Pharaoh. So she knew exactly what is at stake here. Because defying Pharaoh was not a choice, was not a good idea, was not a good choice. Yet she believed in a higher law. And she hid Moses. And surely she had no idea what the outcome would be. Now, imagine asking her, soon after Moses was born, and said to her, so, what prayer do you have for your son? And she thought about it a little while, and she said, well, what I'd like for my son is that, it may sound crazy, but I'd like the household of Pharaoh to ask me to look after him and pay me to do it. And of course, those listening to her said, yeah, you're right, that is a little crazy. But what happened? That's exactly how it worked out. He stayed with her, she trained him, and when he was older, the Bible said, she returned him to Pharaoh's court. And because he stayed faithful to God, not influenced by the Egyptians, he was ready when God approached him at the burning bush. We don't know what the outcome for any of our children will be. Who knows? No one can say tomorrow this is going to happen. Who knows? But we want the best for them. And that's always interesting. What is the best for our children? Sometimes we think the best is the best schools. But maybe it isn't. Maybe I must give them everything that they want. I know that's what they want. But maybe that's not the best for them. What is the best for them? See, raising a child is complex and we need each other. But what is not negotiable is raising our children in the way of the Lord. Not so. Any disciple has that on their heart. And the great thing about this is we may want the best and we may look out there and think, man, you know, the best is this, the best is that, the best is that, but I can't do that. But what you can do, regardless of your personal circumstances, you can train your child in the way of the Lord. I always love that saying, you know, when's the best time to plant a tree? And of course, the answer is 20 years ago. So when's the second best time? Today. We can start today. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. You know, I asked my daughter a few years ago, and I may have told this story before, but what were some of the small things that we did growing up that looking back you realize, man, these were actually big things? And for my one daughter, it was the talks. She hated the talks. Something happened. Come, let's talk. No, just give me a smack and put me on my, let me go. No, we're going to talk. Oh. Okay. And so we talked. And so we went through the stuff. And you did this. You made us feel like this. And, you know, you should have thought of that. And the talk. And 15 minutes later, like, yes, Mom. Love you, Mom. And off we went. Years later. Now, we didn't know this. Years later, we were preparing something in Johannesburg. And so we asked our now adult children this question. And she said, and that's what she told us. She said, I realized that those talks of 10, 15 years ago trained me how to resolve conflict with my husband today. We don't react. We sit down and we talk our way through stuff. It was a little thing for us. That's just what we did. Big thing for her. Her marriage is different today because of little things. Train the child in the way he should go. Jochebed trained Moses, and 80 years later, he led the Israelites out of Egypt and towards the promised land. We may not all raise a Moses, but we can, however, raise a child trained in the way he should go. So what I get from her example? Training. Life training. Biblical training. We only have so much time with him. Let's look at the next mom. The man stood at the doorpost, looking at the woman in front of him, watching her mouth as her lips moved wordlessly, and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Wondering what business a woman such as this had in the house of the Lord. She gasped at the harshness of this accusation and spluttered a bit as she struggled to get her racing heart and thoughts in mind. She closed her eyes and waited a moment, composed herself, And eventually managed to say, "Not so, my Lord." 1 Samuel 1:15. She replied and explained to him that she had not been drinking, but was deeply troubled and had actually been pouring out her soul to the Lord out of anguish and grief. And the man answered her, 1 Samuel 1 verse 17, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." And who was this? Hannah, mother of Samuel. She'd been barren up to the point, but the Lord heard her prayer. And so in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." And after Samuel was weaned, she took him to the temple, as she had vowed, handed him over to Eli, and said, "So now I give him to the Lord." And so one would think the story ended there. I mean, she's now separated, she's drawn the line, she's brought him to Eli and said, "This is what I vowed, here he is." But there's a small detail that comes up now. And you think, man, it's such a tiny detail. You know, I'm used to the big stories and the fall and the Messiah and the promised land, big stories. These are the things in the Bible, and that's what makes it work. But what I found in the Bible, sometimes we overlook that one little sentence because it's so small. And we think, man, it must have no significance. But it's in the Bible. In 1 Samuel 2 verse 18 says, "Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy clothed with a linen ephod. And his mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Now, why is that even in there? She made him a robe every year. I mean, most of the men would say, "Man, you're lucky if you get a phone call from me." A robe? Really? What's so important about that? But the greatest power of a mom is in the little things. Why is it recorded in here forever and ever? Why are we even discussing it today? Or is it that this really small action changed Samuel? He became who he was because of this tiny thing. Or else the Bible would not even have mentioned it. Moms, you don't need to go out and conquer the world. You just need to keep on doing the little things. What do I remember from my mother? Little tiny things. Every time I was sick, I'd be in bed, I'd have a fever. What would she bring me? A bowl of warm custard. You know how nice a bowl of warm custard is when you're in bed and you're not feeling well. Another thing my mom did and still does to this day, she's now 80, is every year she bakes me the same birthday cake. It's called a Frankfurter Kranz. It's a round yellow cake, and I've been getting it for 50 odd years now. Little things. Guess what happens every year on the 6th of December? What's special about that day? My European friends out there. St. Nicholas Day. Exactly. Every year to this day, I get a boot filled with chocolate. And you can laugh. I'm not going to share with those who laugh. Little things. Little things. I'm not too old to be a child, just in case some of you are thinking that. What do my kids remember? Well, I think one of the things they remember is when they got older and they started going out on dates and all sorts of stuff, we said to them, if you ever feel compromised, anytime, day or night, call us. Now, I know me, man, when I'm sleeping at night, geez, you know what, call me in the morning. But I know that was the mom's heart. My heart just kind of got dragged along, you know, with it. But the mom's like, oh my goodness, I'm going to stay up for them and wait till they come home. And I'm like, whatever, just stay up quietly so that I can sleep. Because moms can't sleep because their kids are out. Dads, however, well, this dad anyway, now he slept like a log. But I got to tell you them a trick story, because this was my serving heart dragged to the extreme. So we said to my eldest daughter, we said, look, we're not really going to be happy you driving around kind of midnight and early hours of the morning. We'll drive you around. You tell us when the next party's finished and where you want to go. We'll come fetch you. So, matric dance finished. Now, we're at home. The party finished. The matric dance itself finished. No, we want to go to Cat's Pajamas in Melville. Okay? Pick them up in Northcliffe. Drive all the way through to Melville. Drop them off there. Drive all the way home. It's now roundish midnight. I want to sleep. 2 a.m. Dad!
Yes.
What? Please come pick us up. We want to go to Sandton Square and run through the fountains. You want to do what? Now that's what we want to do. Amen. Off to Melville, pick them up. My other daughter was there as well. Off to Sandton, 2:30 in the morning. They're all locked up. It's deathly quiet there. There's some security guards running around, giving you the skief uch, because yeah, it's a little weird. And my two girls and the date, Nicole's date for the evening, running through the fountains. Because this is what we want to do. Oh, this is nice. This is a rational thing to do at 2 a.m. This makes sense to me. So 3 a.m, can we go home now? Yes, now we've had enough. Actually, we got kicked out there. You know, eventually security guard agreed with me. This is nuts. Get out. And as we get in the car, my youngest says, I think I forgot my glasses in Melville. I'm like, I'm dying inside. My bed has become this big in my head. I've got to get to bed now. It's 3 a.m. Give me a break. And so what do you say? Amen. Back to Melville. Find the glasses. All the way back home. I don't know, 4 a.m. Who knows? Little things. Love our children. So what's the message I get from Hannah? Man, she was prayerful, consistent, reliable, concerned. Little things that moms are, that tie us to them forever and ever. Things we remember and that make our lives special. I'd like to look at one more mom. And I love the story of this mother. It's party time. Not that the mother was a party animal, it was just party time. And the guests are milling around, and the mom and her son, they're sitting there, and they're chilling, and they're chatting to each other. But I don't know if you've noticed, but moms are observant. They see stuff. They've got this special gift, eyes kind of everywhere. You know, they can be sitting in the lounge, but they know what you're doing in the bedroom. You're up to stuff that you shouldn't be, and they know. Well, this mom was observant. And what did she see? It didn't concern her even so much. But she saw it. Because that's how moms are. She saw the wine was gone. The master of the banquet had not catered enough wine. So now, here the mom sits. Problem? Not enough wine. I have a son with some special powers. how can we marry this problem with this solution? John 2 verse 3. They have no more wine. Really? This is the Son of God, the Messiah. The end result of thousands of years of God planning to reconcile mankind. And here mom goes, they have no more wine. Really? And I love the message rendition of what Jesus said. Is that any of our business, mother? Yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me. I love that. The NIV says, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. Now, most people, if they've been put in place by Jesus, you know, we'll never forget, get behind me, Satan, you know. If you've been put in place by Jesus, the answer is, okay, I've learned my lesson. But not mom's. She knew that Jesus needed some encouragement. She knew he was ready. I don't think he knew that yet. And so she turns to the servants and says, do whatever he tells you. Don't push me, mom. Okay, do whatever he tells you. And off his ministry went. It's a little thing. Just a nudge in the ribs. Hey. But that's what moms do, don't they? Why don't you try this? Why don't you go for some piano lessons? Push, 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 nudge, nudge, nudge. Why don't you try this sport? You know, push, 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 nudge, nudge, nudge. Little things. Because moms can see we have potential. They're here to encourage us to take that extra step of faith. So maybe your child won't turn water into wine. Maybe be thankful for that. But your belief in them could start them on an incredible journey. She had faith. She was full of encouragement, and she was determined, this mom. You know, today we celebrate mothers, and they're awesome. And the story I told you right at the beginning, the little girl in that story was actually my mother. And at the age of 8, she had to walk 250 kilometers, pushing her sister's pram. Sister was 8 years younger than her. She was a baby still, with her mom. And one of the things that her mom had to do, and I brought a picture along. There was a special expression called Trümmer. Frauen. Now, translated, that means rubble women. This is a picture of what Berlin looked like at the end of the war. It was a bombed out city. What the women had to do, remember there were very few men around, what the women had to do, they went brick by brick through the city, cleaned the old plaster off, put all the good bricks to the side. Brick by brick through a city. And you'll see they made human lines as they passed bucket of rubble along little conveyor lines of women. And many of the moms. Little things, one brick at a time. But they rebuilt that city. Without them, it would not be the same. Jochebed trained her son. Hannah showed consistency, reliability, thoughtfulness, prayerfulness. And Mary was encouraging her son to greatness. We all start from a point. Let's learn from these moms who knew that the little things would become big things, would have great impact on the lives of their children. And we're always going to remember them for this. And we can start today just doing these little things for our children. God has chosen you for the purpose of raising the children that you have. I always love that. You didn't get the wrong children. You got the ones you needed. Keep doing the little things. And husbands, your job is to create the environment to make this happen. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this awesome day. Father, we thank you for little things. We thank you for moms who are great examples. We thank you, Lord, that we can start today and do little things for our kids. We can pray for them. We can be concerned. We can encourage them, Father. We can train them. We can do all sorts of little things, Father, that will have enormously great consequences in the future. Father, we thank you that you've chosen each of us to be parents, to be part of your kingdom, to be disciples for such a time as this. Father, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. Just we could say one more thank you to Mark for an inspiring message. Just a few announcements. The Women of Courage event. There are still some slots that are open for registration. It is 60 rand.